You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
The newchurches.com Q&A.com. No, I did that wrong. Podcast.
Have you ever, did any of your sound guys ever put the reverb on when you're preaching?
No, that'd be awesome. I preached at Moody Church on a few weeks ago.
That better be on your LinkedIn page.
No, it's not. But what was awesome was, you know, I got up and Erwin Lutzer is the pastor there. And I said, Erwin's gone, or as we call him, the voice of God. I don't have an Erwin Lutzer voice. He got that voice.
Yeah.
But I can do it. It's just not real. It's fake. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the newchurches.com. Q&A podcast. You're playing hits all day, all night at WVCR. All right, good. Sorry.
Well, hey, here's the thing. Check out newchurches.com/PMC. Today is the day after.
PMC. Sounds like PMC. Rap PMC. All right, good.
Yeah, so it's May 2nd. Wow. It's the
That's
day
gonna leave
after.
A mark right there. People right now are like crashing on the side of the road.
Yeah, and you know what? My voice is a little bit off. Not because I'm sick. Because if I was sick,
you wouldn't be in this room.
I would not be allowed here.
Exactly. I am a germaphobe.
Allergies.
Allergies.
The Nashville allergies.
To Nashville, baby.
Yeah. So, but today's May 2nd. It's the day after Planting Missional Churches launch.
The day after. You may have seen the TV show in the 80s. The movie in the 80s. The day after when the world's destroyed by nuclear war. Well, instead, the world is being changed by the power of the
gospel. Okay, all I think about right now, I'm thinking about is as a kid going to the theme park and going to that ride that goes backwards and it's the musical ride.
Yes.
The one where it's the rock hits. Yeah, that's the voice.
That's
You're
the voice.
That guy.
I am that guy.
Well, go to newchurches.com/PMC. You can download the first three chapters, get 30 additional resources for free. But here's the thing. If you purchase the book before May 8th.
You don't want to miss this, folks.
Purchase
the book before May 8th.
Come on, man. Let me do this.
All right, do it.
Okay, you do it. Let's see if you remember.
Purchase before May 8th and post a review at Amazon or Goodreads or put it on Twitter. But somehow, you got to register that you purchased. I don't even know. You tell them.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for letting me talk,
I'm going to be quiet now. Which would be refreshing.
Well, go to newchurches.com/PMC, fill in your email and your name, and then you'll be redirected to a page that'll give you all the information about this deal. You have a chance to win one of three copies of our course, Essential Church Planting. This is the perfect companion course for the book. All through the course, we actually have reading, supplementary reading with Planting Missional Churches throughout it all. So you'll definitely want to check that out. But here's the thing. Every book you purchase counts as a draw. Every review you leave counts as a draw.
People going to like buy 9 books?
Well, for their team.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Buy 9 books for your team.
Well, you know what's awesome? I think you're speaking at the South Carolina convention.
Yeah, what is it called? It's a leadership thing they're doing.
And they've actually ordered 200 copies of the book.
Booyah!
So if you're going to that convention, still buy a book.
Wow.
Give it to your mom.
Because they can have like 200 entries from the South Carolina.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Awesome. It's all good. So everything, you know, all the details there, check it out. We hope you support us and get the word out. Thank you. Anyway, today we are going to be talking about revitalization and planting.
But
so let's listen to this question.
Podcast. How are you going to revitalization?
Well, it's the difference.
All right, let's
the
see.
Difference. Let's see. So let's listen into Grant's question.
Hey guys, this is Grant Diamond. I'm currently serving at a church in Chicagoland as a church revitalizer. And right now what our church is going through, I've been here for just over 3 years, and we are considering actually becoming the campus of another effective evangelical church in our area. And what that leaves me with is wondering what's next for my wife and I in ministry, as it doesn't look like there'll be a position for me in the new model. And that's okay, because I think campus pastoring wouldn't be for me anyway. Anyway, one of the things that I'm exploring is maybe planting a church, and I'm curious if you guys could speak to the differences in gifts and the differences in temperament maybe required between someone who's going to revitalize a church and someone who's going to start a new church. And I think in the years ahead, there's going to be a lot of young guys that are in a situation like the one that I'm in, and I'm sure that we could all use a little bit of knowledge on that. So I would love to hear what you think. Thanks.
This is the perfect question, I think, as we look to the next 5, 10, 15 years. Right. As what is it? 10,000 boomers retiring every day.
Yeah.
So as churches begin to be vacant,
I have no idea how many boomers are retiring for the record.
Yeah. Well,
just if that's true.
Yeah.
I want to affirm that.
Yeah, it is.
Your vast knowledge of American statistics as a Canadian Korean.
Because we talked about
Canadian,
it in planting missional
Korean,
churches.
Canadian.
I like to call myself a Korean Canadian.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
And now Korean Canadian American.
Yes. Or as, you know, Americans think, American means all of North America. Right?
Yeah, we do. We yeah, do. We so. Do. Well, we have Canada. Canada's like our hat.
Exactly.
Canada's America's hat. Yeah. We love Canada. My have you ever to a Canadian? So sorry.
Have you ever seen the hashtag "Is Canada even a real place"?
Yeah, no, I have not. Oh,
it is amazing. Here's the thing. Okay, there's this thing that you do in Quebec.
Yeah.
Right. In the winter, at winter carnivals, they put out this, they gather together all this crushed snow. They'll put a popsicle stick on the snow and they hot maple syrup and pour it slowly on. And they'll begin rolling the popsicle stick on the ice and it becomes a maple syrup candy pop.
That's awesome.
And then the hashtag is Canada even a real place?
Wow.
It's like a theme park.
I love this.
I've censored the language on that one, but you can look it up.
I just looked it up and wow, you need to censor a lot of language. Hey, thanks for leading our listeners into sin, Daniel. No, I just happened to be the first one. All right, well, let's jump in and answer this question. I do think this is as we're seeing some transitions, this be a real issue. Can I, what was his name?
Grant Diamond.
Grant Diamond. That's a great name. That's for awesome. A pastor. Grant, first, this is not your question, but can I just say, don't necessarily rule out the idea of being a campus pastor. Campus pastor, I think there's a perception that the job of the campus pastor is to press play on the DVR. And it's not.
In a video.
Yeah, in
model.
A video venue.
They're not all video.
They're not video venues, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, don't necessarily, you know, preclude that. We have a great campus pastor at church. I planted and I serve and we've got a couple guys serving these roles and they're doing great work. So
are you saying you want to hire them?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're going to let one go so yeah, we can, okay. Well, we can
send your resume into
Ed Stetzer at idonthaveaposition.com. So the differences. Okay. So church planting and churchalization have some similarities. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I would say that the dissimilarities are probably more than the similarities.
Yeah.
Because I'm always concerned, and I caution denominations when they want to put church planting and church evangelization like in the same department, because I just think they're different. Now, there are some skills, and somebody says, well, we got to use the church planting skills and church evangelization. Okay. Well, church planting skills are almost all entrepreneurial. They're almost all gathering people who are ungathered, connecting people who are unconnected. So it's a starter skill. It requires casting vision. It requires, and you say, well, isn't that required in church evangelization? Yes and no.
It's not your dominant.
Exactly. Yeah. Church evangelization is part of pastoral thing, right? Yes. So I've had the privilege of, as a matter of fact, I wrote Comeback Churches after leading a couple churches through revitalization. And that means predominantly older churches that I got to learn to love and appreciate older people. I never, as a church planter, I'd planted like a few churches before I got into church evangelization. Didn't have any older people. Now, my constituency is primarily older people.
Yeah.
And so I got to pastor them. I got to love them. I got to help them. So it's not so much vision casting. It's a reconsideration of the current reality.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's vision casting of a new and a better way. You know, people never change until kind of the pain of staying the same grows greater than the pain of change.
Yep.
Right. So it's an old phrase, old expression. So what I would say is if his gifts are more in, I'm going to have longevity and patience to love people and help them reconsider and change. And I can persuade people. I'm a persuader. I'm an exhorter and I'm an encourager. Mm-hmm. I think those are higher level gifts in a revitalizer. If I'm an initiator, a self-starter, maybe a little bit of a maverick. Mm-hmm. You know, that's sort of some of the characteristics we look for in church planner assessment. Now when we did, you know, when we do the church planner candidate assessment tool that we did here at Lifeway Research, and I think that's probably linked on newchurches.com somewhere.
Yeah.
So we did find some similarities, but the similarities were around leadership. Both you got to be a good leader. Both you got to be a good communicator. You know, and both you got to be, you know, you got to have, you know, the ability to kind of keep on track and on focused and on mission. So statistically, we found some similarities. But what I would say is if he has a history of starting new things, he's in a church right now that if I recall, is being reconsidering.
Yeah, it's been there 3 years. Okay. Considering
this merger. So multi-site merger. So during those 3 years, has he started home Bible studies with unchurched people? Has he been evangelizing people? Has he initiated new ministries?
Mm-hmm.
And if over the last 3 years, basically, he's not, I wouldn't jump into church planning. On the other hand, if it's a situation where the church has declined, and he may not be the lead role, we don't know. But if the situation has declined and he may say, well, if I could do this or this, I think I could revitalize this. Maybe he's not in the lead role where he can do that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's not. then I would say, well, maybe I'm more inclined towards church of hospitalization. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, I've done both.
Yeah.
I found I had to draw from different tools in the toolbox in both case. I think you can have both sets of tools, but church planning is not church of hospitalization. Church of hospitalization is not church planning. Church of hospitalization, I think, is harder. I often say it's easier to birth a baby than it is to raise the dead. And so, you know, so I've planted some churches, found it easier to do that than to actually turn some churches. And I've actually had, I mean, I've had some good experience with church realization, but also had some big bombs too. I mean, yeah. I can think of one church that, well, I guess really just one church that was worse off after we tried the revitalization. Mm-hmm. Than before we tried the revitalization, because all we ended up doing was ticking everybody off.
Yeah, and that's a lot of, I mean, it comes out of knowing who you are, Grant, right? Because Ed, you know, what you've just said there, I just want to make sure our audience understands. I mean, you're speaking from personal experience saying, hey, you've done both, but for you personally, you lean more towards the planting than the revitalization, you know, because there are others who will do the opposite and they'll be like, well, actually, I'm more of a revitalizer than a planter.
Yeah.
Right. So it really comes back to not, hey, I want to be like Ed, so I need to, you know, be a planter and not a revitalizer. But it's, hey, who has God uniquely created you to be? Right. Here's the other thing. There's a lot of different ways that you can understand the type of person that you are, the type of leader that you are. In your first 90 days, that book, we'll put it in the show notes. He talks about the STARS profile, that talks about different types of leadership, different ways. And I would really encourage you to take a look at that book as you take this next step. It's not a Christian book. It's a secular one, but it's a fantastic book during transition. Yeah, but you know what, just to generalize it, think about three categories. Are you a starter? Are you an improver or are you a maintainer, right? And if you just think about those three general categories, I'm sure you can look at the last 10, 15, 20 years of your life and determine, okay, what have I been most drawn to? What do I like the best? Because it's not just about what you want to do. It's about where have you experienced the most success? Where have you experienced the most fruit? And that'll really help you make the right decision. Because if you revitalize, yes, you will start things, but that's probably going to be after a couple of years of trying to, you know, there's going to be a moment of maintaining. There's going to be a moment of pastoral, you know, revitalization, of caring for people, of seeing people go. But then there will come a point where you can recast the vision, but that's not the first thing that you're going to do.
Yeah. So I think ultimately timing and patience is also going to be
a
difference.
That's a good word. Yeah.
I probably, when I was younger, I didn't have the patience for church revitalization. I can't imagine. You know, I planted a church in Buffalo and Erie before I kind of launched out. I was actually a professor when I did my first church revitalization strategy. So when I planted my first church, I was, what, 21? I can't imagine leading a church. I mean, when you're 21, people show up at your church because they're tolerating your youth, you know? And so, but they don't have to at a church revitalization situation.
Yeah.
So, I'm not one of those who says, you know, don't do anything for 5 years or what, you know, you've heard people say that.
Yeah.
If you're in a revitalization situation, you should come in, begin to strategize, build a team. Interestingly enough, you know, we're doing this church planning podcast. I've actually written substantially more on church revitalization than on church planning, partly because I think that there's some good resources out there now on church planning. Church revitalization, still people are struggling. How do we revitalize churches? Why? Partly because it's just harder.
Yeah.
Partly because it's just more of a challenging situation.
Great. Well, thank you again for listening into the podcast. We hope you enter into the draw at newchurches.com/PMC for a chance to win a free copy of Essential Church Planting. We'll check you out next time.